Introduction. Are you sure? Bobby Kennedy asked his brother, the newly elected President of the United States, shortly after the 1960 election. I don't want to be Attorney General. I can teach, write, travel, and enjoy a great career while you are running the country. As the meaty discussion continued over dinner, Kennedy family confidant John Siegenthaler, later entrusted by Bobby enough to assist with the writing of his book The Enemy Within, about the undercurrent of mob rule infecting America, listened with avid interest as RFK paused before speaking. Then he said, "I know my not taking the job will kill Dad," a reference to family patriarch Joseph Kennedy Sr. Siegenthaler, who related these events during an interview with this author in 2015, then listened to an exchange of arguments for and against Bobby becoming Attorney General, including the anticipation that the appointment would be heavily criticized. The next morning, Siegenthaler, still dazed by what he had heard the night before, attended a breakfast meeting with both men. Listening carefully without comment as the three men enjoyed bacon and eggs at JFK's Georgetown flat, the president-elect said, "Now, about my situation, there is no one around I really know. I need someone who will be interested in my interests, and I need you." After a short pause, JFK added, "You are best qualified to handle organized crime and so forth," before pouring them both some coffee. Still unconvinced during the roughly 10-minute exchange, Bobby said, "Well, I have some points to make." But the president-elect ended any debate by stating, "Besides, Dad wants this, and when he wants something, that's it. It's done. So let's just grab our balls and go." Leaving the meeting, Siegenthaler knew the reality. JFK would follow orders, and Robert Kennedy, who had no previous experience as a practicing attorney and had never stepped into a courtroom, would be the next attorney general. End of story, Siegenthaler realized. The question that had been swirling around Washington, D.C. for a month after the election regarding who would be named the nation's chief law enforcement officer had been answered. For Papa Joe, Siegenthaler understood, dictating that his two sons would rule the country was two steps short of what the senior Kennedy had secretly planned. His becoming president first, which had failed due to his passive attitude about Adolf Hitler and the Nazi intention to take over the world when Joe was ambassador to the United Kingdom. Siegenthaler was aware that Joe, furious at the rejection, had delusions of grandeur to the extent that he would use his money and power to create a Kennedy presidential dynasty like none in American history. This meant that first son, Joe Jr., would inhabit the White House, followed by John, Robert, and then Ted Kennedy. Since Joe Jr. had been killed in World War II, John was first up, and Joe's dream began to become reality when JFK defeated Richard M. Nixon in the 1960 presidential race, marking JFK as the youngest elected president in history. This success fell in line with an acute observation by Pulitzer Prize-winning and best-selling historian Doris Kearns Goodwin. While noting Joe Kennedy's unrest during his fall from grace as ambassador, she wrote, "Indeed, the more depressed he felt about his falling prestige, the more solace he found in his children's accomplishments. Little by little, starting slowly in this period and multiplying in the years ahead, Joe began to live vicariously through his children, counting their successes as his own, as if he were resurrecting his injured love of self through them." Now, through his sons, Joe had taken action to live vicariously through his children, first, in effect, fixing the election for JFK, as will be explained, and now ordering one son to appoint the other attorney general. During a meeting with the three of them, Siegenthaler listened as it was decided, he recalled, that the president was to float the balloon about Bobby becoming the AG during a Florida golf match with Bill Lawrence of the New York Times, so as to run the idea up the flagpole to see what kind of reaction JFK would get, since there was going to be sharp criticism right away, since Bobby was aligned with Joe McCarthy and had been on the McClellan committee with him. This account referenced McCarthyism, the practice of making accusations of subversion or treason without proper regard for evidence. It was named after U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy, Republican from Wisconsin, and had its origins in the period known as the Second Red Scare, dealing with communism and lasting from the late 1940s through the 1950s. To dismiss any possible criticism regarding RFK being aligned with the despicable McCarthy when JFK appointed his brother Attorney General, Siegenthaler was given an order, recalling, "I drove Bobby around to various people so he could see what they thought. We went to the Mayflower Hotel to see former President Harry Truman, and Bobby had coffee with him and came back dejected. Then we went to see Bill Douglas, Supreme Court Justice, J. Edgar Hoover, then others, including Senator William Fulbright. Nearly all of them told RFK not to take the job as AG. In fact, Truman told him to get as far away as possible. He was really plain-spoken and didn't like Bobby anyway." When Joe Kennedy was informed of these reactions, Siegenthaler said the elder Kennedy immediately dismissed them. Bobby Kennedy was going to be Attorney General no matter who disagreed. Confirmation of Siegenthaler's recollections, which detail a decision, as will be explained, that truly changed the course of history, comes from the PBS program American Experience, The Kennedys. On that program, JFK's personal counsel, Clark Clifford, said that after he mentioned the historical importance of the Attorney General and the impact it had on a number of administrations, he told Joe Kennedy, "This, appointing Bobby, would be a serious mistake." Clifford recalled the elder Kennedy paused before replying, "You've presented it, your argument, very well. I want to leave you with just one thought. Bobby Kennedy is going to be Attorney General of the United States." On a separate occasion, Clifford put it another way after he strongly suggested to Joe that Bobby needed more seasoning as an attorney. The patriarch barked, "God damn it, he wants to be it, and he will be. I want it to be, and that's it." Robert F. Kennedy was appointed Attorney General, as Joe had ordered. This monumental decision had a dangerous ripple effect, since it will be proven that actress Marilyn Monroe, the president, and heralded columnist Dorothy Kilgallen ultimately were murdered, as noted, within the time frame of 40 months, each collateral damage triggered by Joe, and, more to the point, Bobby Kennedy's fateful actions after he was sworn in on January 21, 1961, a dark day in history. Through Kilgallen's lens, it is possible to connect these three American icons due to the many similarities regarding the life and times and the deaths of Marilyn and JFK, and eventually Kilgallen's own demise in 1965. Perhaps even worse, the Kennedy family, instead of becoming a dynasty of presidents, became a seemingly cursed dynasty of tragedy. This has been reflected in the deaths of multiple members of the family through not only the assassinations of JFK and RFK, but drug overdoses, plane crashes, bizarre unexplained accidents, and the like, continuing into 2020 with the drowning of RFK's granddaughter and her 8-year-old son in Chesapeake Bay. Some may believe that what happened is simply bad luck, or a tragic act of fate so terrible that calling it a curse is unwarranted. But there is no question about one matter of historical importance, as is presented in this book for the first time. The road to the truth about why and how Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen were killed intersects with the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and the common denominator is, without doubt, his brother Bobby.